Does God ever seem silent? Does God ever seem silent? It's been over 8 months that you've been looking for clear direction, but despite all of your prayers, God's mouth seems shut. Does God ever seem silent? You've been suffering with your health. You've been searching anywhere and everywhere for answers. Every morning you raise your concerns again to God, but days have turned into years and no solution is in sight. Does God ever seem silent? Well, if you've ever struggled with this silence, you stand in good company. Just consider the complaint that the biblical character Job raises with his Maker. I cry to you for help, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you only look at me. Or consider the lament of King David, the person who we are told wrote today's psalm. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Sometimes God seems silent. Of course, what we feel or think about God and the world around us is not always as true as we may believe. I mean, how many of you experience the world is as flat? And I mean relatively speaking. We all do, right? We have little appreciation of the earth being round, except maybe when we're driving across the prairies and are approaching a town with a large grain elevator, and slowly that grain elevator shoots out of the dirt. Or maybe when we're lounging at the seashore watching a sailboat heading off into the distance, its mast starts to sink like it's descending down a hill. Small ways that we can realize the earth is a globe. But we don't always experience this truth, right? And sometimes the people of God miss the voice of God. Which brings us to today's psalm, Psalm 19, a song that the writer and theologian C.S. Lewis has called the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. No small praise from a writer such as Lewis. Well, Psalm 19, a psalm of David, conveys a truth about God that is not always validated by our human experiences, let alone that of the psalm's writer. The psalm tells us that God is always speaking. God is always speaking, and that this God speaks to us in many different ways. I mean, just think of that beautiful sunset you saw this summer. How many of you saw a beautiful sunset this summer? Well, a few weeks ago up in northern BC, I had the privilege of watching the sun sink down into a soft bed of pink and purple and lavender. I had never seen that before. It was just so beautiful and majestic. At the outset of today's psalm, we are told that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Now, this speech is without words, but it clearly communicates God's glory and might. As the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the church at Rome, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Well, the first section of today's psalm reminds us that God exists. God's presence is loudly proclaimed in the world around us. This is something to consider when God may seem silent. Take some time to watch the skies at night, or the sun at its dawning, or birds in their flight. God speaks to us. But this is not the sum total of God's revelation. As the psalm progresses, it moves from general revelation to special revelation. It moves from speaking in generalities to specifics, from God's voice in nature to God's speech in the law. And for those who like looking underneath the English language, as if to mimic this move, the writer switches from using God's generic name, El, to God's personal name, Yahweh. God gets more intimate in the second section of the psalm and begins speaking about our lives. Rather than simply reminding us of his own existence, God starts telling us how to live. Through God's law, God's instruction, we are shown the way to the good life. We are promised that by walking in these ways, we will become wise and joyful. We will find ourselves in right relationship. Now, that's no small promise. I mean, for many years, the motto of General Electric was, "We bring good things to life." But did you hear when Keith was reading all those good things ascribed to God's law? Makes General Electric's bold promise seem pretty paltry. God communicates to us through creation. God teaches us through the law. But even this doesn't exhaust God's speech to us. At the end of the psalm, David talks about God as his redeemer. Interesting language. In Scripture, redeemer is the technical name for the next of kin who rescues a person out of dire circumstance. David is calling God family. Family who has saved him from disaster. I can only see this as foreshadowing the incarnation of Jesus. The God who has come near in the law becomes even more intimate when God is born and lives and dies as one of us and is raised to new life. In the book of Hebrews, we are told that in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Does God speak? Well, God communicates with us in the silence of the sunset. God teaches us through the gift of the law. And then God makes himself known to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, who proclaims God's majesty and might. Jesus, who shows us how to live in right relationships. And Jesus, who embodies the God who is nearer to us than our own breath, who loves us as his own children and has come to rescue us and redeem us from all that would cause us harm. God does sometimes seem silent. But Psalm 19 reminds us that God is, in fact, speaking through creation, speaking through Scripture, speaking through his only begotten Son. So what are we to do? Speak, Lord, and I will listen. Watch those sunsets. Read your Bibles. And encounter Jesus where he promises to meet us, even today, in bread and wine. Amen.